This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
Oh, good morning. Glad you can be with us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Now, listen, I know I sound like some sort of optimistic character in like some science fiction movie about like the underground people where they're like, is the sun coming up today? And like, someday soon, it's coming soon. Can we finally leave this? That's what I feel like every day, because I feel like I start every day with more good news that sports is coming back, and yet sports still isn't back. But it's getting close, folks. It's getting close. All right, so here's the latest as we sit here on a Wednesday, late in May, weeks after the shutdown. Well, we're on 10 weeks, I think. The NHL is saying, okay, when we come back, we're doing a 24-team playoff. We're not even going to do the regular season, which is good because the NHL was heading there anyway. I mean, the mid-March shutdown of the NHL, they were almost done with the regular season anyway. So this makes perfect sense. The NBA, and this is getting really interesting. The NBA, as we've been talking about for the last few days, actually for a couple of weeks, because this idea has been rolling around for a while. This idea of going to Walt Disney World in Orlando and playing. But we didn't know how. What was it going to look like? Are you going to have all the teams there? Are you going to close out some regular season? Are you going to go right to the playoffs? And now there's a number of different playoff possibilities that could get really intriguing, including a World Cup soccer-like tournament where there's going to be groups and you're going to play each team in your group twice, and then you're going to come out with the two best teams out of that group. And they don't know what that's going to look like, but that's a possible idea. Like, could the Lakers and the Bucks be in the same group just based on a random draw? Or would you give the top four teams in the NBA at the top markings of each group? That's one idea. Another idea is to just take all 30 teams, throw them into a playoff format, and let's roll the dice and see what happens. There's a number of possibilities that Adam Silver is considering. We're going to get to them, but one thing that has to be said, not everybody is on board and just going to Orlando and playing some games, including one superstar who said he won't play. He'll go, but he won't play. I'll tell you who that is next. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. This is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Find us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Also, if you'd like to like us on Facebook, we'd love that. Love to hear from you. All right, so the NBA has got a number of different possibilities in how they're returning to play when they finally come up with a date and a start, you know, start time and a format. They're looking at different ways of doing their postseason. Look, I think that this idea of everybody going to Orlando and playing is intriguing, right? This isn't going to be like the NHL, where the NHL is talking about finding two hub cities to do their postseason and then coming into one. So like a West Coast hub city, an East Coast hub city, and having the teams go to those locations, play, and then possibly figuring out which one you're going to have the championship in and then go from there. This is different. They want all 30 teams in one location. Now, as we've been saying the last couple of days, there is this belief that the NBA is going to want to close out some games of the regular season. Not all of them. They're not going to try to get all 82 games in. But to fulfill the local broadcasting contracts, you may need to play four or five or six games. Now, I don't know in the end if that's going to be doable here. And here's why. And I think you're going to hear more players say this. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers is saying, look, if my team doesn't have a realistic chance of making the playoffs, I'm not playing in this. I'll go. I'll be part of the team. But I'm sitting on the bench. I'm not part of this. Now, I would have more respect for Damian Lillard if he said he wasn't physically going to Orlando. Like if he said, I'm not even leaving my house. Then, because if you're there, if you're there with your team and you're not going to play, if you're going to go through all of this being quarantined and in a hotel and sequestered in a hotel and all of those things, if you're going to go do that with your team, then play basketball. Like play. I mean, why wouldn't you play with your teammates? If you're saying, look, I'm not going to go work out, get back into shape to go play three more games to close out a season in Orlando when I've had 2 months off. This isn't like the regular season where I'm wrapping up a year where we're not going to make the postseason, but I'm still going to play. This is different. I've been off for 2 months. It's going to take me a while to get back in shape. I'm going to get back in shape and then just to play three meaningless games and then go home. I'm not interested in doing that. He would be better off if he said he wasn't going to go, but if you're going to go, play. But this is going to be a dilemma for a lot of players. Because instead of where Damian Lillard is saying, I'll be on the bench, there's going to be players who are going to say, I'm not going to go at all. If I'm on the Warriors, I may not go at all if I have no chance of making a playoff tournament. So now the NBA is going to have to come up with another solution to that, which is if we're going to tell all these players to leave their families, get on planes, boogie to Orlando, get tested a whole bunch of times, and then be sequestered in a resort and not being able to leave that resort area for another period of time, then we got to make it worth their while, because here's an opportunity to make it worth their while, right? We don't have to do things the old way. We don't have to close out a regular season like 67%, and then we're going to go right back to the 8 seed versus the 1 seed and the 7 seed versus the 2 seed. And that'll be the West, and the East will do the same things. It'll be a best of 5 or a best of 7, however they come up with it. We don't have to do it that way. We can have all the teams involved. You can take all the teams that are not currently in the playoffs and have a play-in tournament, and then they can get in. So it's worthwhile. So that your star power doesn't feel like their time is being wasted. Because I'll tell you right now, I mean, listen, I think this is a big ask to say you've been off for 2 months. You've been quarantined. You're trying to stay in shape, but you don't have access to your facilities. You don't have access to your trainers. You didn't have access to any game plan or routine. All right, get back into that. And the only reason we're doing it is just to fulfill some local broadcasting obligation. Oh yeah, they're paid and they're under contract. But I get what Damian Lillard is saying. I don't really like it, but I get what he's saying. So here's an opportunity to change that. Here's an opportunity to say everybody's in. All right, you may not be in for long, and you'll get to leave as soon as you're out of this thing, but you're in. So one possibility for this playoff structure, which is really intriguing, because Adam Silver has been very supportive of the idea of using some ideas from soccer. He wants a mid-season tournament. Kind of likes this. He likes the way they do things. So somebody threw out this idea of, well, what about a World Cup-like tournament? For every 4 years, you get these groups. You get these teams in groups. They play within their group until there's two teams that are left. And then those two teams advance, and everybody else goes home. So those two teams advance into some sort of round-robin tournament.
Brilliant.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I love it. Like we've been saying all along, too, this is the time to try something radical.
Absolutely. So try something radical.
This is fantastic. I love this idea.
So now you add another element to this, which is where, okay, if you're the NBA and you're like, look, we want to make sure the eyes are on us, right, while we're doing this, just think about the draft lottery. Just think about the lottery for the draft. The kind of attention that gets every single year, right? Where they sit around and they got the general managers and the good luck charms and they're all sitting there and here come the ping pong balls, and then the ping pong, you know, then they've got the envelopes, they're opening up the envelopes, and they're telling you who has the number one pick. That's a great event. How about a random draw a World Cup tournament? What kind of numbers would that get?
I want them to do it the way the World Cup does it, where you have certain seedings. You split into four groups, right? And this is what the World Cup does. They have 1 through 8. Those are your top seeds, and those are the only ones that have seeds. You figure out who the number one seed and who the number 8 seed, all the way down to number 8. And I say you just go off a record, find out who the top 8 teams are in NBA.
Yep.
And that's it. There's no rhyme or reason to which group they go into. You just know that those are the top 8 seeds. And then you take maybe the 2nd 8, the 3rd 8, and the 4th 8. You know, well, you can't have that many, but you understand. And then you kind of just figure it out from there. Every team gets a chance to play. Every team gets put slotted into group. I would love to see the group of death.
Who would get the group of death if the Lakers and Bucks would randomly get in there?
That wouldn't happen.
Okay, so you wouldn't have to do that. Okay, so basically you keep the top seeds together, and then I love this idea. I think this is a great idea. You get a lot of games, all right, into this format, and it would introduce a new concept to the playoff format. It would involve everybody, so you don't have a Damian Lillard situation where a superstar says, "This is a waste of my time. I'm not doing this." And in some ways, you have a show where, or you know, a segment where you could say, "Here's when we're going to be drawing the groups," and that's going to be intriguing to people, even people who don't follow soccer or the World Cup. If you just basically give them the idea of what's happening here, they'll be like, "Well, I would like to know where my team is slotted." So, and you include every market. So even a team that is like Atlanta, that's just terrible. Here, the people of Atlanta are going to get to at least see where their Hawks are. They may not last long, but at least they're in. And I just think this is the way to do it. I mean, listen, if you're going to invite everybody to Orlando, right, to do this, make it worth their while. You're not promising everybody's going to play the a lot of games. You could say, look, you might be there for a couple of games. That's it. But your future is in your hands.
Yeah.
Like your hands. You want to advance? Well, you got to win. So win. And you never know.
I mean, so your top 8 seeds as it stood when the season ended. Milwaukee's number 1, Lakers 2, Raptors 3, Clippers 4, Celtics 5, Nuggets 6, Jazz 7, Miami Heat 8. So okay, those would be your top 8 teams. So arguably you could have a group of, say, use the Lakers with the Rockets with maybe Brooklyn, I don't know, or Portland. You could conceivably have a group with really strong teams.
That's great.
In one group, and you just know, hey, you know what? Sorry, guys, that's the way the ball bounced. One of you all are being eliminated.
So I'm not really sure how this works because, you know, in soccer you have so many countries and, you know, you're filling out a larger group. So you have 30 teams. Would 6 groups of 5 work?
You could do 6.
I'm trying to figure out the math off the top of my head and I'm confused. Six groups of 5 or 5 groups of 6, which would work better?
I would say 6 groups of 5.
Okay.
Then everyone gets you play each team once, so everyone gets 4 games.
Right.
So that'll be enough to decide who is slotted where. And then you would take the top 16.
Okay.
So top 2 of each group, or maybe... Yeah, top 2 of each group, and then 4 wild cards.
So that plan would guarantee every single team at least 4 games in Orlando.
Yeah.
So you would be able to say to everybody, look, it's a playoff, kind of, but you're playing within your group, but you're going to play at least four times. So you're not going there for one game, and then you got to boogie out of there. You at least get 4.
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
And that's not bad. I mean, for a team like Golden State, Cleveland, hey, you guys got 4 games instead of us just saying, hey, we're just going to take the top 16.
And then just be honest with them and say, America really doesn't want to see a lot of you anyway. Yeah. So just show up, do your job, and go home.
With Golden State, anyone really going to that? I mean, is Klay Thompson's not playing this year?
Well, that's the thing, right? You know, like, how healthy are those guys? Because now all of a sudden they're like, what if they're healthy? And they're like, yeah, we weren't planning on coming back at all in a lost season where we were in last place and had no chance of climbing back into an eight-team Western Conference playoff picture. But now that we're in this group, we're kind of feeling a lot better. And
yeah, now so that we have an equal chance as everybody
Now we're good to go.
God, wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be nuts.
Golden State's the last team thrown in there. And that would probably, you know, if Steph said, yeah, I'm coming back, Klay goes, you know what, I'm going to do it. Draymond Green.
I'm feeling pretty good. You know,
I mean, why not for Klay Thompson? I mean, you would sit there going, you know what? I mean, at the bare minimum, four games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at least, shake some rust off, get some season in.
All right, so what are your ideas on that? You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We're going to explore that option plus a couple more. I like that one the best, but there are some others on the table as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we need auto parts. O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so there's a couple of other options for the NBA as they are planning a return. Orlando, the Disney Resort, but how would you do it? How would you keep everybody interested, everybody involved? The group draw World Cup formats is getting a lot of steam, and people are really liking this. It's getting really popular. A lot of people writing like, oh, look at the possibilities of what could happen with this or what could happen with that. You could also just do it the old way, which is just take the top eight seeds from each conference and play out some sort of tournament where you play best of five games. And
just feels like, you know what, we don't want that this year.
No, because here's the other aspect of it, and I forgot to mention this, why the group stage where you just take all the teams and mix them up works, which is you don't have any travel problems. You don't have the logistics. This is the one thing when people say, hey, let's ditch the conferences and let's just seed them all, like seed everybody. Because remember, the West has always been better than the East, and the East would have like their seventh seed would have a below 500 record. And like, why is it fair that the such and such team like the Atlanta Hawks get to make the playoffs with a losing record, but a team like the New Orleans Pelicans, they don't get to make the playoffs and they're above 500. Well, you know what? Because we are traditionalists in sports that keep the conferences alive. We keep the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, and you play more teams within your conference. So that's just the way the ball bounces. But the other thing is travel. Look, I know these guys fly on jets and private planes and all of that, but these guys don't want to fly back and forth to Los Angeles when you live in Philly for an opening round tournament. They don't want to do that. It is a lot. It is a lot of strain. And so they don't want to do that. So they keep everything a little bit closer and tighter. And then when you get to the championship, then you throw all of that out the window. You don't have that problem here. There's no reason why the Denver Nuggets can't play the Indiana Pacers, right? In round one, if that's the way it is, you've got them all in one location. So bring them all in. So the group atmosphere works because there are no travel logistics to get around, right? Everybody's in the same spot. Now, if you're going to do if you want to ditch that idea and say, well, it's a little too radical for us, that's fine. But if you're going to do the traditional way, why don't you do the traditional way and reseed the whole thing? Right? Again, you're not bound by travel restrictions, so it doesn't really matter. Right? Now, I like this. I like one of the things that I like about this group idea, this World Cup idea, is I think it's I do think it's more engaging, right? It's a different way, and it allows for different possibilities. We kind of joked about Golden State getting healthy, but while that may not be come to fruition, that is a reality for a lot of other teams that were struggling and were starting to find their groove, but were looking at the calendar back in March going, yeah, this might just be a little too late. Well, now maybe if you can find that rhythm again, it's been 2 months. Yeah. If you can find that rhythm again, now you're all of a sudden a force where nobody was going to be worried about you because you found something that was working. Maybe a person got healthy. Maybe a lineup change was what you needed, but you were just running out of time. Now you're not running out of time. I mean, if that was working in March, it may be working in May, and all of a sudden you're a threat.
We would all assume there's going to obviously be some training, probably a few scrimmages before the tournament gets underway.
Sure.
Just so these guys can get their legs underneath them. I mean, we're not expecting them to be game ready. They're not going to be in the type of shape they were in March. There's no way that they can do that. There's not enough time. But at least, you get some quality basketball, get some decent basketball. I think this idea works best just because of the fact that when we watch the World Cup, we're watching countries. We have no idea who these players are.
We
don't really care. And it's almost like watching the Olympics. We care about them for a month, and then after that, they're gone and we're done. We forget about them.
That's true.
But this offers that opportunity where, everyone gets to play, and each game feels important.
I think that's the key.
Each game means something. It doesn't. I mean, for Damian Lillard to say, I'm not going to play unless I know we have a real shot at making the playoffs. You're in a situation now where you got to hope that you can go 4-0 in the group.
Yeah,
just to advance. I mean, 3-1 will probably do it. 2-2 might not.
So I think that you have to sell. Look, again, I get it with the, they're paid athletes. They should go wherever the league gets them. But this is a departure from the norm. This is a different thing. This is something the union will mm-hmm. analyze and has to say, okay, we want to make sure the safety protocol's in place and all of those things. But I think Damian Lillard, I know that he's going to get chastised for that. But I think he does have a point of, you want me to restart everything for 3 games that don't matter. I'm not going to the playoffs. So now I've been off for 2 months, and now you want me to get this engine roaring again just to satisfy some local Portland broadcasting rights? No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'll hang out with my team. I'm not going from 0 to 100 just so the local Portland sports station can be satisfied with some local broadcasting rights.
And scheduling wise, this makes it the easiest transition too. Because what you said, there was 3 courts.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. It's been reported that there's 3.
Yeah, so let's assume there's 2 good courts that they could use where they could set up cameras. They could do the whole thing. When the World Cup is going on, it's a month long. But every single day during the group stage, you only have 4 games.
Yeah.
So yeah, this makes it easy.
Much easy.
You have 2 games going on. You could have 2 games going on simultaneously, if you'd like, and then 2 games immediately after that.
Yeah, see, I'm really starting to fall in love with this idea. This is pretty good.
And all of it could be done in prime time, so you're not having games at 1 o'clock in the afternoon where a lot of people are like, well, I'm at work, I can't watch my team play.
Yeah, see, I'm digging it. I'm absolutely digging it. So, but again, in all seriousness, it does go back to this idea of if you're Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks and you're thinking, what am I doing this for? Give him a reason. Give him a reason.
Regardless, I think what they need to do, because the NBA hasn't been on TV other than someone taking a podium saying, well, we have this idea moving forward, or a player coming out like, I'm not doing that. I think you should still have the ping pong ball selection just so we could see what the groups would look like.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because that would be huge TV ratings. I mean, listen, we all tuned in for the draft.
Yeah, I know.
What was the other NFL thing we all tuned in? Free agency.
Free agency. We're all about that.
We're all about that.
We're getting into that. All right, coming up next, I did see a movie yesterday, a sports movie per se, and I don't know what to think about it. I'll throw that out there next. It's Wake Up Call at ESPN Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, so yesterday I watched Adam Sandler's Uncut Gems, which is now on Netflix. It's a movie I wanted to see, and I was going to get it on demand, and I just didn't. And then some people told me it was really good. Some people said, nah, it's not as good as, you know, as people are saying. I was kind of going back and forth with it. I was eventually going to see it, and then yesterday I was just perusing Netflix, and bam, there it was. I was like, wow, that's quick. So I'm going to sit down and watch this. And is it a sports movie? Yeah, because it's got gambling and Kevin Garnett in it. So, hey, why not? But here's the thing. I can watch a movie. When I go to the theater or I watch a movie at home, when the movie is over, I can tell you I liked it, and here's five or six reasons why I liked it. Or I didn't like it. Here's five or six reasons why I didn't like it. This movie, I don't know. I don't know if I liked it or not. It is one of the most intense movie experiences I have ever had. It is in your face on 11 the entire way through. Adam Sandler plays a jewelry store owner who gets his hands on this incredible opal. And Kevin Garnett comes into his store. He's in New York. He wants to buy some jewelry. And Kevin Garnett plays himself. It's set in 2012. So Garnett is playing himself as a member of the Celtics. They're in the playoffs. They're playing the Sixers. So he's in town. He goes to New York. He's looking for some jewelry. He sees the opal. He wants the opal. He gets it. He has a good game. And Adam Sandler's character has a gambling problem, and he owes money to a lot of different people. And he's pushing them off, and he's playing one against the other and whatnot. But it's intense. It's nonstop. The dialogue plays off of each other, where people are talking over each other. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of intense moments. There's a lot of how is he going to get out of this? There's a lot of potential violence. Serious people are after him for money. He's trying to get the opal back. He's trying to sell the opal at an auction. He's trying to use that. He makes a big bet. He can't stop gambling. You know, some of the bets he makes wins, some of them they don't. It's nonstop. And you feel for the character. Like Adam Sandler, this is one of his best acting jobs. I was blown away he didn't get nominated for an Academy Award. Just forget winning it, or I don't think he would have won, but he didn't even get nominated. It is just nonstop. So you're with this character, and you don't know if you even like the guy or not. Like, I couldn't figure out if I was rooting for him or not throughout the whole movie. And he's got a girlfriend. He's got an apartment in the city that she lives in. He's trying to keep his marriage alive on Long Island. And you don't know if you like him or not. You don't know if he's got any good qualities. Seems like a likable guy, but he also does things that you don't like him. And you're following his journey. And at the end, I was like, man, I really hope he makes it. I really hope he gets out of this. But it's on 11 the entire. It's over 2 hours long. And at the end, I feel like I needed to calm down. Again, when you have dialogue, when you have a movie where it's yelling and the yelling is over each other, I mean, just picture somebody in your face just screaming all the time. That's what this movie is.
Who's doing most of the screaming?
Adam Sandler and anybody he was associated with.
Really?
Yeah. So like he's owing money to some really, you know, some people who really want
some shady people.
But he's yelling back at him. And even and Garnett was great. I know he's playing himself, but he still is. He has key lines and key moments in the movie, and he's really good.
Is he the only celeb?
No, The Weeknd, is that a real rapper?
Yeah,
he's in it too.
Okay,
so he was in it too. And when I looked up the IMDb, they said The Weeknd, and I was like, okay,
but he has no E in his name.
No Weeknd. Is that what it is? I don't know who he is. I feel bad. But
it's
he's like, in it.
It's spelled Weeknd without the E and end.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But it's still, yeah, you still it. Pronounce it Weeknd.
There's a woman in there plays Adam Sandler's girlfriend, and I think her name is Julia Fox, I think. But it was her first movie. Like, first movie ever.
Really?
She was like a model and did some other things. And she was good too. And let's see, who else is in it? Oh, Judd Hirsch is in it for like a brief period of time. He plays his father-in-law.
Okay.
So it's a good movie. But here's my problem with it. There are movies I've seen where I could tell somebody, go watch this. You'll love it. It's good. You kind of like this movie, so you'll like this. I don't know if I'd recommend it. I'm almost afraid to recommend it and somebody coming back to me going, I didn't really like that experience. I didn't like a movie that was that. There's no calm down time. There's no moment where it's intense. Even your most gratuitous action movie has moments of dead conversation where things slow down for a bit. Catch your breath. We're going to do another car chase soon, but right now we're all going to chill at the hideout. This doesn't do that. It is nonstop. He is pulling every angle. His character is selling this to make that, to make this bet, to make that, to pay off this guy, to pay that guy. Another guy's chasing him, so he gives him something to hold him off, and then he's got to make sure he gets this money by this time and that money by this time. And this guy's, he walks down the street, he looks over, here's the guys following him, goes to his kid's play, the henchmen are behind him in the school theater, they're following him. I mean, it's endless. And the ending, he's got a big bet on a basketball game. I won't tell you how it goes down, but you're watching that game. And I found myself like praying to God he gets out of this. And it's a movie. Like there's no need to pray for a character in a movie. Like it's scripted.
So it's almost is it that uncomfortable feeling that you got the first time you watched Meet the Parents?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
You're like, dude, he's not a bad guy. Just give him a break.
Give him a break.
Just talk to him.
That's right. It was very. That's a good movie to go off of where you're kind of like, I'm really rooting for this guy to make it. Everyone seems to be against him, and I'm rooting for this guy to make it. That's the way it was with Adam Sandler's character. And look, I say this about Adam Sandler and with all the amazing respect for my fellow New Hampshirean. I like his movies, but I don't watch his movies anymore. Like the funny movies anymore. I just don't. I don't watch those movies. I love them, but I don't watch Billy Madison anymore.
Do you watch the new ones that come out though?
Anymore. Yeah, when he's got new stuff, I'll watch it. But I don't watch the old slapstick stuff anymore. I'm not 22. I'm much older.
Well, he's not really doing those like the Happy Gilmore.
No, but I don't watch the. What I'm saying is, I don't watch that genre anymore. I don't watch that. Buddy, you got that thing across your face. I don't watch it. That's not my humor anymore. That's not what makes me laugh. Buddy, your mother's ugly. I don't do that. But he's grown as an actor, and this is a great performance. Whether you like him or not as a character, whether you like the movie or not, whether you like its pacing, whether you like its dialogue, it doesn't matter. He executed whatever the directors wanted from this character. Whatever their vision was for this guy, I guarantee you he nailed it in their eyes. This was a great performance by Adam Sandler. It was fantastic. And I really enjoyed watching. Here's the cool thing about that as an actor. The thing about Sandler and all those other movies like Grown Ups and Happy Gilmore and all those other movies that he's done in the past, he plays kind of the same guy, right? There's a big knock on Sandler, which is he does these movies where he can take his buddies on vacation. Like they shoot in South Africa or they shoot in Hawaii or wherever. And all of his buddies go and they're all in this movie. And it's like one big vacation and they're all shooting this romantic comedy or this fun movie where he gets to play pretty much the same guy. It's the same kind of person, right? And when you're watching this, you're not seeing Adam Sandler. He is this jewelry store owner. He plays it a New York Jewish jewelry store owner. He plays that to perfection. They have a Passover meal. Even the Passover meal is intense. That he's with when he's with his family and they're going through the ritual of that. And you're feeling like he needs to get out of that in whatever way possible. Like, he's like, he's, his family's trying to have this Passover meal, and the only thing he cares about is, I got this thing going on, I got this thing going on, I got to get out of this. He plays it brilliantly, and he, it's really good, but it's an experience. It's intense. It's stressful. You're on the ride, and it's, it has nothing to do with you, but you're, it, you're like, oh God, like Kevin Garnett needs to score into the bucket in this game for this guy just to kind of get out of this temporarily. And it, it's one of those, it's an incredible ride. It's so, so I preface this by saying, I don't know how to feel about it. It's gotten great reviews. People really like this movie, but again, I left it feeling like I needed to go, like, listen to some, like, soothing music just to calm down, calm my brain down.
Need some Michael Bublé.
Yeah, I just needed, like, get me, like a scotch and, like a cigar, and let me just go into a room and throw on some, like, Sinatra and just sit down and chill for a while. But Sandler's brilliant. He's brilliant in it. He's really good. Really good. And that's what the people have always said about him. Like, when he really... Look, if you got 20, 30 million dollars to go to Hawaii to shoot some rom-com, you'd do it too. So I never blamed him for those kind of movies. But when he needs to act, when he can do it. He absolutely can do it.
He does have another sports movie that's in the works right now.
Which is what?
I was looking at his IMDb for the upcoming projects. The movie, it says it's in development. It's called Hustle.
Oh, okay.
And the plot is a washed-up basketball scout discovers a phenomenal street ball player while in China and sees the prospect as his opportunity to get back into the NBA.
Oh, nice. Very good.
But he's the only one attached to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. His people originally, it's funny because his, you know, his team had originally turned this down. Sandler didn't even get the script for Uncut Gems, and they immediately turned it down for him. So this is not for him. But if somehow he got a hold of it and realized, no, I could do this. And he's good. Mike Francesa is in it. He doesn't even play himself. He plays a kind of a character, a bookie. He plays that pretty good. But Kevin Garnett's really good in it, man. He's really good in it.
That's,
I know it's easy to play yourself, but he's good in it.
Well, I think it's harder. I think it would be harder to play yourself. I mean, you know your mannerisms, but... Now you're trying to develop a character that is you.
Yeah, that's true. That you're trying to act as how you would act in those situations.
Yeah,
and that's a good point. That's a good point. Like they have a Hitman Sandler have an argument at one point in the movie, and you're right. He has to act as him if he was in that, if something like what had happened to him in the movie, without any spoilers, how he would react to that, and he reacts to it. You know, the acting is good, but you're right. He has to play it off as, this is how I would really do it. So it was a decent movie. So do I recommend it? Yeah, I guess. Just don't hit me up after you watch it and say, yeah, I watched it because you told me to, but now I need to, like, calm down. Like,
yeah, he doesn't need the hate mail.
Yeah, I don't. So I would tell you to watch it.
But if he doesn't, hit him up, you know, at odd hours.
Yeah, my sister sees a lot of movies. She watches a lot of movies. She gets the screeners for those awards. So she'll tell me, yeah, she's in part of SAG and stuff. She'll tell me all the time. She's like, dude, have you seen? And I go, no. I go, listen, I don't see as many movies as you do. So she'll go, oh, you really need to see it. This was one she told me about, but it didn't look appealing enough for me to go, like, yeah, let me go rent it as it's on demand.
Now, I'm not blaming it on you. But now I'm on the fence because I wanted to see this too, because I have a vision of one way and you just totally destroyed it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You should watch it though.
I will probably check it out.
Watch it. Check it out.
But I find, like, Meet the Parents scenario, I find it still uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about this movie is it's a good story. It never is boring. You are captivated. So if you're looking, I was on the laptop. Well, I had it on and I was doing some research on something and I was kind of like half watching it. I had to put the laptop away. I was like, this movie's too intense. Let me do that later. Some movies, there's enough downtime where I could do something else. This was not one of them. So if you're looking for a 2-hour engagement where it's going to get you in the beginning and take you right to the end, this movie is going to do that to you. It's gonna do that for you, without question. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. As we continue along this morning, more from the NBA and that group play idea. Also with Damian Lillard saying, if I don't have a chance to make the playoffs, I'll go, but I won't play. I want to get into next hour whether or not, what will we think of a player who says, you know, I'm just not going to do any of this. A lot of it has to do with safety concerns. You can play without me. We want everyone to get back to work, but we also are sympathetic to people who are very worried about COVID, very worried about coronavirus. Does that extend to athletes? Does that extend to star athletes if some just kind of sit on the bench and say, I'm not interested in being part of this yet? The safety doesn't meet my protocol. It may meet a standard, but it doesn't meet mine. Will we still look at them with the same sort of, yeah, we get it, we understand? Or because we want sports to come back the way we remember it, would those star athletes be chastised for that kind of decision? We'll talk about that coming up next hour as well. We don't really get into hockey as much, but now the NHL is saying 24 teams would be in their playoffs when they get back to the ice. And Major League Baseball owners really want players to take a pay cut. Next.